You've never heard of them. You won't see them bronzed up on a Sunset Strip billboard or chasing 20-something models on Love Island. When they get free drink tickets on an airplane, you bet your ass they fucking use them. It's Two Guys, One Podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Ron Alleman and Brian Harris.
You know, I think I'm going to do this year, now that we're talking and since you asked me.
The stop cross-dressing thing? Are we going back there?
No. We're still not doing that. We're still good. I think what I'm going to record my own version of our intro to 2G1P. You let me know what you think. If you want to switch to my version or keep the old. The old one's great. It's fine. But I've been picking up the guitar a little bit more lately. I found my pick. That's what it really takes. I lost my pick for about a year. And wow. I found it.
So, yeah, that's what sidelined you, huh? Losing the pick?
Yeah. This well, is a pretty you know, easy if you replace, don't have a pick, no? You can't play. Yeah, it's horrible. The six-year-old found it, brought it up to me. And I've been strumming a lot. So I don't know. I think I could do it. I think it would be great. You know, I obviously don't want to step on any toes. I know you went through a lot to get that recording of that Bruce Springsteen song as our opener, so you let me know what you think.
I'll take it under advisement, man. Put it forward, and let's see how you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I think it'd be nice to have an authentic track behind the intro, so consider me on board for exploring that.
That's cool. I also have a piano over here, so maybe I'll do a little duo.
Let's not get too crazy.
Okay, you're right.
Let's walk before we run, you know?
Yeah, let's crawl before we walk.
Yeah. Exactly. So obviously we sit here on a Sunday afternoon having just had the opportunity to hop on with my broski.
Sunday morning, rain is falling.
I guess we could call this a Sunday fireside chat kind of vibe, right? Because we got on with my brother yesterday. We kind of chopped it up around basically things that were driving us nuts. And
yeah.
I came to the mic obviously very heated from some recent events that had happened here, which you'll hear all about momentarily.
You were on fire. I was on fire
yesterday. Yeah, I was on fire. It felt good though, man. It felt good to just kind of let it all out, you know?
Well, I know. I mean, that's exactly what happened. I know I was in bed. It was around 7 in the morning, and you start texting me, hey, get up. I want to talk. I got to get on the air. I got to get something off my chest. And so I sprung from my bed, jumped right out. Ran down to the studio. Man, we made some coffee. Got in the studio. We got on. Got your brother, who I love talking to, Chris Harris. He's a great guy. He has a great microphone.
He does.
Yeah.
Phenomenal mic.
Such a great voice coming through that microphone. And it was fun. We got to hang out for a little bit. And so after airing all your grievances, how do you feel today?
Well, like I said, man, it was cathartic, you know? And I feel like I say it's analogous to like screaming loudly in a pillow when you're really pissed off.
Yeah.
Or, you know, beating someone up, although I've never done that. I would imagine.
Or in your case, maybe like biting a pillow while you're getting like little from behind. Which is not, has that happened lately or no?
That's happened 0 times a year for the last 40 something years.
Wow. Okay. So it's been a while. I'm sure you. Part of you's got to miss it. I know what part.
So I guess with no further ado, man, let's get into the chat with my brother yesterday. What do you say?
Sounds good. Let's get in it.
How you guys doing? I wanted to
obviously
create a quorum this morning. Chris, thanks for joining. For those of you who are tuning in for the first time, Chris Harris is on with us. Chris is my brother. Appreciate you jumping on. I thought you'd be particularly relevant for this episode because you're a pretty negative person. I hope you don't take that the wrong way.
I'm glad to know the value I'm bringing to the conversation because I have no idea what you're pissed off about.
Well, it's a lot, guys. I'm fired up this morning, okay? I'd like to just get right into it. I'll start with, I don't want to mention Eric Knight by name. This guy in my neighborhood who sits atop the homeowners association.
Oh my god.
Oh Jesus.
You're being very particular about not naming people and then using their exact names and their titles.
No, I said I'm not going to mention Eric Knight by name.
Okay. Association, there you go.
Windward Shakes.
Clear that up. Okay. Don't do it.
We had Amanda's other car, Brittany's car, parked on the street, okay? And some asshole plowed into the back of it and didn't leave a note. It was a hit and run kind of situation. So Amanda goes to our homeowners association's Facebook page and says, hey, did anyone happen to see this? Or can you get video on it? And this guy, Eric Knight, that I'm not going to mention, who runs the homeowners association, decides that it would be a good idea to not only chime in and say, that's been there for a while. And by the way, not to make your day worse, but you're really not allowed to park on the street. And the new HOA is going to be looking out for that kind of thing, okay?
Yeah.
What a douchebag.
You deserve it for having your car parked on the street, right?
Right, exactly. So I decided to respond and say, I would hope, this is me paraphrasing, but I would hope, because Amanda's since taken down this exchange, or I'd read it.
Wait, before you tell me what it is, just tell me it was done rashly and with very little thought and a lot of emotion.
All of the above.
Okay, great. Proceed.
All of the above. It hits all the marks for you, bro. So I said, I would hope that when the new HOA gets saddled into the leadership position that they find themselves in, that they would come up with something to focus their energy on that might have a little more import to the neighbors of the community than whether I park my own car outside of my own fucking house.
Boom shakalaka!
Right?
Wow.
Sure. Yeah, that's the emotional response, right?
So the homeowners
everything was fine.
Yeah, so this is last night, and then I wake up this morning to a reply that says, well, it was in the covenants when you signed up for the house or whatever, and last week we had a lot of snow, and the snow that was piled on your car created a lane issue. Now, I don't live at Broadway and 7th in New York City, okay? We live at the back of a cul-de-sac of a brand new subdivision.
Right.
If someone has to drive around my fucking car that's parked in the street for whatever reason, I think it's a pretty navigable situation, okay?
Navigable?
Fuck your covenant.
Come on!
Fuck your HOA.
He's heating up!
And by the way, well, I'm going to pause here. I've got a lot more on this topic, but let me open up the floor. Let me see if there's a counterpoint. And then I'll get to what I propose as a resolution, but I'd like to hear from you guys on this.
Well, Ron, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump in here because, you know, I'm so negative. It feels like
go ahead and jump in. Plus, you can, yes, negativity, and you can bring the legal aspect to the thing, whereas I don't know anything about that.
Well, okay, I'll pretend for a second like my brother is my client, which is not an infrequent occurrence.
I'm sure it's not.
This is true.
Don't eat your weed, Brian.
Yeah, the whole covenant thing. The thing about homeowners associations that everybody understands, and this is a very, you know, middle-aged white guy conversation to have, but fuck them. The thing is there are trade-offs to homeowners associations. I happen to live in an area that is not encumbered by such covenants. It's called Hicksville. And we would just, you know, handle things the old-fashioned way and say, fuck you, motherfucker. Why don't you come out here and move my car for me? Here's where I live, you know? But you can't really do that because although you may, I'm assuming he wasn't saying that this snow was creating a problem for this particular vehicle, was he? He was just saying in general cars being parked on the street, right? He wasn't talking about yours?
Oh, no, he was singling out
so
our
he's
car
a neighbor.
In this particular situation, yeah.
So he's a close neighbor. Well, the problem with homeowner associations is that they're only run by people who really, you know, it's like a source of power for them. That's just my personal experience. I'm sure there are some great people that run homeowners associations. It's great to be involved in a homeowners association, mostly so you don't get sniped in the ass by rules that get passed last week. The things that you were doing that all of a sudden are no longer acceptable, according to the homeowners association, right? And I don't know if that's what happened here or not, but listen, man, there have been many clients of mine that have, because I look at those things, you know, because I've ended up in a bunch of lawsuits with homeowners associations, and what it turns into and what I'm going to counsel you against, I know this isn't funny, don't take it personally. because it mm-hmm. will, in this situation, it's not just that you're dealing with neighbors. It's that it's kind of a public thing and everybody likes to be, oh yeah, fuck the homeowners association, except that they're all subject to it. Okay. And then the worst is when you start getting teams, people who are for the homeowners association leadership and people who aren't. It's worse than, like, I don't know, a church going through a divorce, or I don't know, just an abusive, toxic relationship breaking up. I just don't go there, is what I'm trying
to
say.
I went there.
Yeah. Okay. So you continued to go down that path.
Well, no, Amanda, like the follow-up response that I had for his morning reply, Amanda just basically deleted me. Amanda stepped in and said, you're no longer going to be talking about this anymore.
Somebody should put a straitjacket on this guy.
For her.
You don't have one of those joint accounts where she can actually delete stuff, right?
No, but she just went in, like, she started the post, right? So she went in and deleted the post.
So she killed the whole...
She killed the whole fucking conversation. Yeah.
You guys don't have that joint Facebook account, Bri? The Bri-Manda?
Bri-Manda Harris? We're working on it.
I was trying to hit on wives in those accounts. You know,
yeah,
hey man, your husband's not, he doesn't have access to this, does he?
You never know. Sometimes it's the husband that you're actually talking to the whole time.
Okay. No. So Ron, thanks for that. That's good, rational feedback. Ron, what's your take?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Like, I'm going to side with the human side of this whole story because, I mean, Jesus Christ, man. Like, how about some fucking sympathy right now? Especially, like you said, like, during the winter time, during this crazy amount of snow, during, you know, say it again, pandemic, COVID-19, we're all fucking getting along in a different type of world right now. Why does everything have to be by the fucking book at this point? You know what I mean? I mean, the city of Chicago, during this time, just to help out businesses, they allowed restaurants to sell liquor to go, cocktails to go. Never, ever. You could never walk out of a bar with a drink, and now they're doing it legally.
We did the same thing here in Texas, and it's going to stay.
Yeah, I think it's going to stay here too, which is great. I mean, but that's just how, like, the human heart and the mind kind of have to rally behind each other and help each other right now, lend a helping hand. I mean, Chris, I think you nailed it. This is all about power. And some people have zero power in the rest of the world except this one little space. Okay, it's like going to get your driver's license at the DMV, right? I mean, that is a super fucking power trip right there that those people have. So you got to kiss their ass if you want to get out of there, you know, in a timely fashion. It's fucking sad. And I'm not going to get into my story, but we have this stupid thing up here. Well, it's not stupid, but it's a way. It's called Takeout 25. It's a way to help out local businesses. And you should see the arguments that people get in over plastic to-go containers, why you can't go to this business, you know? And it's really weird how strong and how fierce people get online when they're not face-to-face, like how tough they can be, you know?
Yep. Totally.
But anyway, you know, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I think the association should say, you know, during this time, here's what's going to happen. And I, first of all, in to get to the point of the story, I really hope that the person that hit your car, maybe there was a Zoom doorbell or someone that caught this person in the act that you guys will eventually find. But I mean, if not, man, I mean, that's just my take. Like, can we just fucking watch out for each other and have each other's back at this point, at this moment in time, as far as, you know, instead of going by the book, being such a prick about it?
Hear, hear. Well said. And I don't disagree with any of that. I'm cautioning you, Brian. This is all this is me cautioning you to get personally invested in a thing like that. Now, I got a couple of questions for you, and you can edit this out, but tell me you have un- or underinsured coverage on your vehicle. Do you know?
Have what?
Un- or underinsured motorist coverage on that vehicle.
I don't know.
It'll cover a hit and run.
Probably do. I'm sure you do.
Well, here's
unless
the
you're
thing,
a complete
man,
jackass.
Like, the car is worth about $1,000.
There you go.
Right.
The deductible,
but to replace
probably,
it is way worse.
Yeah, I mean but it's not like right to the. It's a cosmetic thing. I mean, you know, there's a crack on the bumper and but ultimately, you know, we've decided it's not really worth losing any sleep over. I mean, the car's on its last leg. It's got like 160,000 miles and it's whatever. But here's the thing, man. It's like, so I was talking with Gavin about it on the way to drop him off this morning. I came up with, I think, a solution that I want to run by you guys. As of this podcast, whenever this hit the airways, I'm officially announcing my candidacy for the next HOA election.
Yeah.
I'm going to run for HOA
president. Hell yes. Okay?
You get my vote.
In my entire
platform,
get on the soapbox here. My entire campaign is centered around when I become president of the HOA, we don't give a fuck anymore. You can do whatever the fuck you want. If you want to put a porta potty in your front yard, if you want your grass to grow up to the second floor of your house, if you want to have a fucking trapeze act in your front yard, go for it. We no longer care. In fact, we're not going to vote on anything ever again. Under my candidacy or under my presidency, we are going to become the HOA that votes on absolutely nothing. If you've got a problem, you're going to deal with it. We're no longer an administrative force on anything. In fact, we will not answer a single complaint. We won't vote on a single thing. We are going to detonate the HOA. And that's my candidacy.
Because I like it.
Why in the fuck do you care about whether or not my car is parked outside of my fucking house? And so if you believe that that kind of oversight is completely immaterial and a waste of energy and space, vote for Brian Harris. What do you think?
I love it.
I think you got to play chess, though, not checkers, okay? Because the people that want to vote for that are not people who vote in homeowners associations meetings.
True.
So what you got to do, man, is I'm changing my earlier advice. I think you should be as public as possible in all of your complaints against Mr. Knight. I think you should make memes. You should get sided up. One on each, okay? The we don't give a fucks. And everybody, and the other eight people who always end up being the ones running the homeowners association. So you've got to figure out a way to get people on your side just enough to vote, you know? Yeah. So I think you should take a different tactic and start hyper enforcing rules. Every time you see a car on the street, you need to report to your new best friend, Eric Knight.
Yeah.
And you need to tell him, guys, you've got to do something about this. And Smith hadn't mowed his yard in almost 9 days.
Go out there with a fucking ruler and measure his grass.
Yeah. Yep. The height of mailboxes needs to be one of the most important issues in your new life. Okay.
Yeah.
And I want you to get people so riled up that they're just primed to vote for no more bullshit. That's my plan.
Okay. All right. An ongoing story. I'm running. And then I think where you're headed with that is once I actually win the election, then I can put my plan into motion.
Oh, you're going to campaign on we're not going to do shit. You absolutely are. But in order to get people to care, you got to do some shit. You know?
Yeah.
You got to mess up their lives as much as possible.
I get it. Yeah.
We're subject to a homeowners association? I didn't even know that. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
And then you're the solution to their problem, their new problem.
It's fear.
I love it. Amen. All right, well, we'll see how this plays out. I need to find out where the Homeowners Association meets.
It's probably an online
kind of shit like that.
There's some online application I'm sure you got to fill out.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, like I said, I've got a few topics. Moving on from there. And again, not going to mention names about my ex-high school classmate, Davis Taylor, but, you know, the...
DT?
You're familiar with, you know, the staying on social media, the chatter that comes across from fucking knuckleheads from high school and from back in the day. And you're just kind of, if you're participating in the social media environment, you're going to be subject to quite a bit of that, right?
I saw, last night there was people debating whether or not a peanut butter and pickle sandwich would taste good. And everyone was saying, this is people from my high school, everyone was saying, ugh, gross, I would never eat that. Why the fuck, has anyone tried it?
Right.
You can't bitch until you try it. So I said, whoever's out there complaining, you got to make a video of yourself, you know, creamy or crunchy, you decide, throw it together, sandwich, eat it, and then you can bitch if it's no good. I'm going to try it. I'm going to do it. I think it's going to be delicious.
It sounds
Plus, Ron's
good,
playing chess, not checkers. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Get a bunch of pictures of your high school people eating peanut butter and that's awesome.
Peanut butter and pick pawn to rook four.
That's really good. So back to the topic at hand, right? So Ron, if you remember on a previous podcast, we were talking about Tiger Woods' most recent accident.
Yeah, his rollover. We were
talking historically about how he's had the ability to persevere over similar injuries. And I mentioned that when Tiger won the Masters 2 years ago, I was incredibly impressed by that. And so I made a post about it and said, you know, congrats to Tiger for persevering through all of these four back surgeries and getting to the top of the hill again, blah, blah, blah. And so my man, Davis Taylor, decides to chime in and say something to the effect of, well, you know, I can't really celebrate the wins of someone who's an adulterer and basically attacking him personally, to which I responded, I'm not saying I support his marital situation or decisions. I'm saying I'm supporting his prowess on the golf course and his perseverance as an athlete and how impressive that is. So rather than let it go, Davis came back at me a couple more times. And so a couple things for this particular situation that I want to get to the heart of the matter. But number one, okay, strike one. You cannot have an opinion, in my opinion, on anything if you have someone in your house that has the name Doak.
He's heating up.
Okay, his brother's name is Doak. That's not made up. It's D-O-A-K. Doak.
Doak.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, they ran out of D's at some point. Yeah. They were all the husband, wife, and five kids, all their names start with D.
Oh, I love
you've
that.
You've got Davis, Doak, Doug, Diane, and Dawn. Right?
And dumbass.
Okay.
And so, but to that point, Chris, Doak was the first one.
Boom, shakalaka!
Got a point. They picked that name
at the bottom of the ladder. Like the first kid that popped out of her vagina, they named Doak.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Maybe that was just the sound she made when he breached the canal.
Doak!
I like it.
So that's strike one, right? Strike two is, if you have one spelling error in your Facebook post, okay, that's a typo. If you have three and one of them is you misuse the word there and you spell it T-H-E-I-R instead of T-H-E-R-E, you're gone.
He's on fire!
You're gone. I can't have a conversation with you, okay? So those two infractions aside, what about the merit of the conversation? Can I not say Tiger Woods accomplished an amazing athletic feat, regardless of what he's done personally? I mean, it's the whole thing about Bill Clinton. Was Bill Clinton a great president, even though he boinked Monica Lewinsky? Like, come on. Like,
I think he boinked
her. Or because he did.
All right,
you know, can I just chime in here and say something real quick? Because
please.
I think this is what is wrong with Facebook. Because back in the day when we would just, you know, stroll the halls of our high school, if they were nerds and geeks, they didn't even fucking look in our eye. They would just look the other way. Sometimes they'd turn around and run if they saw guys like me walking down the hallway. Now they're fucking straight up engaging with us in public conversations. What the fuck, man?
Yeah.
You think you can really talk to me in public like that in front of my friends and family? Jesus Christ. Swirly time. I'm thinking someone's taking them for a nice little swirly here pretty soon. That's bullshit.
I don't know why people just have to chime in with negative shit anyway. You know, that's a scroll post for me. Because unlike maybe the two of you, not a huge sports guy. Anybody who's not a huge sports guy has heard of Tiger Woods. And unfortunately, for a lot of people, maybe the only thing they ever heard about was his car wrecks, his obituate issues, and I don't know, it seems like his cars get beat up with golf clubs or something. I don't know. But I wouldn't feel the need to shit on somebody else's post like that, just to start with.
It just goes back to what you were saying, but it's about the power thing, I think, you know?
Yep.
That's all it is. I mean, if you don't like something and you're really a critical thinker, I think you just move on. Oh, Brian likes Tiger. I don't like Tiger. Okay, well, skip. Next, you know.
Yeah. Let's just create some negativity right out of the gate for no reason whatsoever.
Right.
I don't get it.
Can you, but what, that's a good point, but let me ask you this. On a personal level, do each of you contend or agree or disagree with the point that you can separate, you know, the accomplishment from the personal whatever, right? So I use the Bill Clinton example. I use Tiger Woods example. can you celebrate what somebody does as an athlete without necessarily celebrating his personal decisions, I guess, is the point that Doug and probably, you know, behind him, Doak, you know, that's the point they were making, you know.
I think it's case by case, man. You know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like,
what the offense is, you know?
Yeah.
Some are unforgivable and they will tarnish a legacy forever, you know?
Yeah.
Fucking around, I mean, on your wife and your Tiger Woods, I think that's just expected.
Yeah. For sure.
I'd be disappointed if he.
Yeah. Had. Like Pete. Okay. Another example, Pete Rose, right? The whole gambling thing. Like he was kept out of the Hall of Fame for a very long time because of the gambling thing, but he was still the. I mean, statistically, a Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer, no question.
Oh yeah,
right. Yeah, no, it's like saying, like, when you know, when you throw guys in the slammer and they do their time and they come out, I mean, are they forgiven now? It's like, okay, well, you did your time and now you're out, and now, you know, now you can, you know, join society again and get a job, or do we just say, no, sorry, buddy, you know, forever, for the rest of your life, you're not getting anything. You know, even though you served your time. I think that's the Pete Rose thing. It's been a long enough. The guy, I mean, he's a different person now, I would argue to say, than he was when he was in his 20s, you know? And you're right, first ballot Hall of Famer, no fucking doubt. You know,
I mean, how much of, I'm sorry, go ahead. How much of that do you think is personal, and how much of it do you think is, like, pressure? Like, how many people are personally offended that Tiger Woods fucked around on his wife? I mean, anybody?
Right.
Maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you come out and say, well, he did a great thing. Oh, no. You're now supporting the worst thing he's ever done. It's the whole problem with our toxic, you know, like people line up on sides, you know, left or right or red or blue. And you're just painting the other side with the absolute worst of that side.
Totally.
That's what the internet has allowed to happen. And it's a fucking shame.
Totally agree. Which I think we have a split decision on that, but that segues to the third beef I have this morning. Like I said, I'm pretty fired up this morning.
Man.
And this one goes back to the recent news that came out several days ago that Dr. Seuss is striking multiple titles from the collection. You know, they're decommissioning several books because of racial undertones in the books, which is one thing. I read this morning that now Disney has come out and said that they are striking or putting a warning on Peter Pan, Dumbo, Swiss Family Robinson. Now, there's a lot of problems in the world, and none of us are oracles, but I'm going to stand here and say one of the things you try to do is, opposed to figuring out what's wrong, you figure out what's not wrong. I'm here to say Dumbo ain't the problem.
He's heating up!
Okay? Dumbo is not the fucking problem. The flying elephant, the big fat flying elephant, is not the issue. And what the fuck are we talking about? We're talking about cartoons, man.
Boom shakalaka!
What the fuck are we talking about here?
Well, I had a super busy week, so I didn't get to follow all the what I called manufactured outrage. So I'm not familiar. Are they actually, you know, like, I don't guess they're burning Dr. Seuss books. They're just not going to print some anymore. Is that the deal?
Yeah, they're just they're no longer going to sell them, and they're taking them out of rotation.
All right,
yeah,
so let me ask you a question. Do you know what the first movie ever shown in the White House was?
I do not.
No.
Ron?
Tribute.
No, do not.
It was Birth of a Nation. Are you familiar with that movie? Birth of a Nation was a celebrated anthem of the Ku Klux Klan and how they saved America from Reconstruction blacks. It was watched by the entire bench of the Supreme Court. All 9 justices were there. And the president of the United States, I can't remember who it was in 1921, but they all celebrated it as a great work of art, okay? So my point in that is that, well, shit changes over time, and I do think it's okay to reevaluate every once in a while and go, okay, well, it's one thing for a thing to exist and to ban it. That sucks. But in terms of perpetuating it, maybe you don't need to keep pumping out DVDs of Birth of a Nation, you know? So maybe... I don't know. Maybe it's more like that. I didn't follow it. How about you, Ron?
Yeah, I think the reason why, because you mentioned Dr. Seuss there, Brian. So I guess this was the week that he would have turned 120 years old.
117.
Yeah. 117? Okay. So we were doing Dr. Seuss all week long in my kids' kindergarten e-learning. So we read a bunch of books. We did, obviously, Green Eggs and Ham and Wacky Wednesday.
When you say, sorry to interrupt you, you say you were doing Dr. Seuss.
Yeah, I had him, I was pulling the back of his head and I had him bent over showing him all 50 states.
Carry
was
on.
There something, did you think I wasn't? So, but I'm, and I, so we've all read, I would assume you guys have read Green Eggs and Ham. You probably can recite it in your sleep or at least a few lines from it. But I'm reading this, I'm reading it. My kid's so happy with himself because he's 6 years old. And he's finally able to, like, read a book, you know, cover to cover. So I was celebrating my six-year-old's accomplishments
nice.
This week. Yeah, thanks, with Dr. Seuss. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, what a great man. I don't know this man. Maybe, you know, so I should maybe say, like, what a great legacy that this gentleman who 117 years ago was born and we're still able to work with our kids and celebrate, you know, these accomplishments with our children through these books. And I'm telling you, my kid, this book has not left his side all week. He's read it to me. He's read it to my wife. So great. So I'm so happy. So when I see that, that's the feeling that I get when I think of Dr. Seuss. Now,
sure.
Back in the day, you know, was the nation completely different? Like, was there a big mind shift that's happened since then, since all this stuff's going on? So, I mean, there's a ton of movies that were made between now and then, a ton of books that were written. There's all kinds of blood that's in the water of this nation, right? So to cancel, you know, to go in and say, well, you know, I really don't get it, Brian and Chris. I know, like you guys said, maybe we don't perpetuate, you know, the thing. And maybe we understand that racism and you know, other crimes do exist. But, I mean, come on. Dr. Seuss is at least what he's left behind for us, I think, is fantastic.
Can I ask what it was that was objectionable? Like, is there a certain book or certain, you know?
It's,
I mean, I don't remember a whole bunch of racist terminology in my Dr. Seuss readings. Yeah.
What I can tell you is that in broad stroke, right, there were several characters in these books that were presented in racially stereotypical ways. And that's the best way to kind of describe
it. Oh, my God. Have you ever seen some of those early episodes of Tom and Jerry?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. Shit. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm sure those are... Not,
are those, all, are those up next?
Are they've got to be, right?
Yeah, those old Disney cartoons, the black and white Disney, they're crazy. I mean, people are smoking cigars, they're drinking alcohol, they're in blackface, some of them. I mean, come on, man. I mean,
yeah,
it's a cartoon.
Yeah, well, and here's the other question, right, to your point, Ron, is that, you know, Dr. Seuss created hundreds of narrated stories for kids that have survived for 100+ years. I think it's, you can't, in my opinion, you can't write those kinds of children's books at that volume and be a scathing racist underneath all of that, right? Like, how can you compartmentalize those two things? In other words, my guess is that whatever racism is attendant to the books that he wrote was not by design. You know, this is 117 fucking years ago, right?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't trying to change minds, but I'm sure the guy was a product of his time, you know? I mean, if we go by that standard, fuck, my favorite historical character ever is Thomas Jefferson. Owned a few slaves, fucked a few of them,
right.
Had a whole bunch of kids, you know? And he's the guy who wrote All Men Are Created Equal, you know? Was he was he intentionally trying to target, you know, and promote white supremacy? I don't think so, but, you know, I'm positive people are going to look back on this conversation, you know, if they did 100 years from now and be like, how the fuck did those guys believe that stuff?
Yeah.
How crazy, racist and sexist and all that shit are those Neanderthals? I think you can judge people by their time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And, you know, I think to your point about Birth of a Nation, you know, as we talk about these Disney products that are now falling in line, like Dumbo, very nuanced, right? So the complaint with Dumbo is that the ensemble music when Dumbo enters the arena, if you remember the movie and the show, is very tribal and stereotypical. The type of music that is playing when he enters. I mean, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, this cancel culture that we live in, I would challenge anyone who is on the anti-Dumbo train to give me one negative outcome of that music playing when Dumbo's entering the arena. Give me one.
Boom shakalaka!
Yeah, it's manufactured outrage. My question is, who is it manufactured by? A lot of people think that this is manufactured by people who were just, you know, hyper politically correct. I don't think it starts there, ever. I really don't. I think these are manufactured controversies, because the only place I ever see this shit come from are from my dumbass friends who are watching completely different stuff than I do that are just absolutely, you know, offended by things like Mr. Potato Head being canceled or whatever the fuck happens. And I'm like, I haven't even heard about that. How is that a really? Is that a thing? I do believe it's manufactured. I do.
Well, that's interesting because, you know, I was saying to Amanda last night, you know, the timing of the news from Dr. Seuss, which, by the way, Dr. Seuss Enterprises announced that they're decommissioning these books on the birthday of Dr. Seuss. So obviously it's created and bubbled up a lot of press coverage about Dr. Seuss. And
how many books are being sold?
Right. And then Disney maybe looks at it and says, well, we want to get some press out of this too. So we're going to put a warning on Peter Pan and Smith.
Yeah. Nobody's been buying Dumbo lately.
Right.
Let's fix that. Yeah. Oh, Dumbo. I've never seen that.
That's a good point.
Wow. Yeah.
But it's just so interesting to me, you know, this cancel culture that we live in. Like you said, man, people tend to jump on one side or the other, and anything can be a hair trigger for some volatile debate when you really look at this shit. Don't we have a better way to spend our fucking time than worrying
about
the ensemble music when Dumbo's in it? We've got a fucking global pandemic. There's racial discord throughout the entire world. There's fucking poverty. There's cancer.
We got people parking their fucking cars on their streets and shit illegally.
In front of their own houses.
We need to get those motherfuckers.
Yeah, come on. Well, listen, guys, I appreciated it. I really needed an outlet to sort of air my grievances this morning. And,
I want you to do something productive. I want you to get on Facebook and figure out how to go ahead and launch your candidacy.
Yeah.
You know? Can I consider you my campaign manager?
Oh, 100%. In fact,
take that on?
Wow.
I have some specialized software that allows me to look up a whole bunch of stuff about people that they wouldn't want to be made public. So when it comes time for the smear campaign?
Yeah.
I'm there with that. But we can also figure out how to screw with people in your neighborhood where it won't really come back to you. That's all coming back to Eric Knight, the man who shall not be named.
And what's fantastic, though, about Eric Knight is that name is not too uncommon, I'd say, where there might be several Eric Knights that have done some dastardly deeds. And why not just bring those guys to the forefront, too? It doesn't matter if it's as long as they have the same name, Brian.
You're right.
We'll just go after all
this. This could have happened 80 years ago.
That's great. Eric
Knight.
Not all
the details match. This guy would be 113, convicted of multiple counts of rape. Yeah.
There you go.
All right. Well, I feel better knowing that I have an action item. And let's launch this campaign. And there's some attention, Windridge Chase residents. Changes are coming pretty soon.
Good luck.
We're not going to control a fucking thing that happens in this neighborhood. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam.
All right, gentlemen. Listen, great chatting with you guys.
Same. You're going to have to figure out how to spell schmovenant, okay? It's going on a fucking poster.
Good All right, well, that was fun wrapping that up with my bro. And before we close out here, we will have a word from our sponsor.
Can I tell you something right now?
Please.
First of all, again, I just want to say it one more time. It's such a pleasure. Such a pleasure having Chris Harris on. Friend of the show. Obviously, your brother. But what a great guy.
Yeah, I agree, man. Always good to have my bro on.
You know, the only thing better than I love than having these little chats with you is, you know, when I lay down to bed, I want to be comfortable.
Don't we all? Yep.
I want to be, dare I say, extremely comfortable.
Okay.
I want to have everlasting comfort, Brian. Do you see I'm kind of getting at here?
I do. I mean, I think we all strive for everlasting comfort.
Everlasting comfort, it comes
in many ways, but the one way I want to tell you about is through the use of this great humidifier.
Ooh, okay.
You like that?
You tell.
Word from the sponsor, Everlasting Comfort has an incredible humidifier. It makes you, I mean, you sleep like a baby. I told you I had issues here during the winter time with this heater on. Throw this thing on. It's lightweight. It's small. You're going to sleep soundly, smoothly. You're going to wake up feeling fantastic, better rested, Everlasting Comfort. Go on to the Two Guys, One Podcast Instagram page. Check out that link. Save yourself 20%. 20%, Brian.
Wow.
Not five.
Whoa.
Not five, not 10.
Whoa.
20%. You buy it right through Amazon, so delivery is going to happen in a couple days. Just watch out for that handling. All right.
They always get you with that handling, but you know,
it's the handling.
That's not
the shipping's
Everlasting's
fine.
Problem. That's not Everlasting Comfort.
It really isn't, and it's never going to be your problem either. Getting a good night's sleep. Everlasting Comfort. Check it out. 20% off. 2G1P.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll get right on that, and that'll do it for us here today. And everyone, have a great week.
See ya.
It's Two Guys, One Podcast.